This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.muzzle.com. That's business.muzzle.com. Thanks to Muzzle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host. We're kicking off a two-part episode with an incredible guest from Cisco, Aruna, who is the SVP and CMO over at Cisco. So we're here to talk about all things AI and agentic AI. So Aruna, welcome to Apple at Work.
I am so excited to be here with you, Bradley.
So if our listeners aren't familiar with you, can you just give us a high level of what you do at Cisco and what you oversee?
So I am the SVP and CMO for all of AI, networking, as well as collaboration here at Cisco. I've been here for about 8 years, and these are going to be the most exciting times because of AI.
Yeah, I've kind of gone through the gamut as I wear two hats. Like one is IT hands-on keyboard practitioner role, then also like kind of on the how this looks from a marketing side as well. And I've kind of come the full gamut of like it's a big deal, it's not a big deal, but like it's actually going to be a big deal. And I think it's one of those where we often overestimate what we do in like a year or 2 years, but we like vastly underestimate like a 10-year plan. I mean, in cloud went the same way. It was just like, you know, in 15 years ago, it was like, oh, cloud everything. And it was like, actually, there's still a lot of legacy stuff. And then it goes slow and fast at the same time. But I am interested in how this is going to impact troubleshooting. And I think there's like some huge wins here. So when we think of like agentic AI, agentic operations, where like your network is very much runs itself. And like this goes, I think, further than just kind of like the quote unquote self-healing that we've talked about for 10 years. I'm talking about like where things are happening on your behalf. And I think that's like great and terrible. My fear is that agentic AI makes a mistake and agentic ops makes a mistake and it takes my network down. But on the other hand, I think, okay, like this can prevent things from happening while I'm sleeping. Where do you think about that? Like, where do you think there's that line between autonomous and dangerous / makes a mistake for agentic ops?
I know, right? Right. Like when you think about it, it actually sounds crazy. And you rightfully called out, like, so if you think about IT teams, they have been burned in the past because, you know, previously before AI came in, everybody had all these automation scripts. But when you think about it, in reality, networks today are really big. They run very fast. They're extremely complex for humans to manage, and think about every issue and every alert that happens in real time. And with the AI workloads, this is actually going to get even more complex. When something breaks, the admins who are actually chasing after alerts, who are piecing things together in terms of what actually happened, and they are trying to basically fix it before the users actually feel it. So now with agentic ops, we came up with this terminology, which is called Cisco Agentic Ops. It means that AI does all the heavy lifting. Now AI has the ability to basically find the issues when humans are asleep, when they're working, does not matter. It actually works in the background. I did 2026 predictions, and one of my predictions was that there is going to be a whole bunch of these AI agents, which is a part of this agentic ops, which will be always operating and being able to help the humans. So it'll be able to find the issues. It has the ability to understand the context, because when you think about the networks tend to be extremely complex. You have to correlate across multiple different elements. You have to actually figure out like where the issue is. Let's say a network has started to degrade. You have to isolate the problem, right? Like it could be in a particular switch. It could be in a particular branch office. Does not matter. So being able to find the issue, understand the context, and then it has to recommend actions. But it does not mean that it is going to replace IT admins. All AI is going to do, these agents are going to make IT admins to have superpowers. And I also want to talk about, like you talked about the autonomous operations, right? Autonomous does not mean it is uncontrolled. Humans, these IT admins still get to set the rules. They still get to provide oversight for the actions. What AI does, it works within the guardrails which are set by the IT admins. So it all comes back to trust. It's all about trust. So how do you build the trust? So the initially, you know, you, as AI starts to basically give you suggestions, the IT admins can look at it and then make a call. And then you can start with low risk fixes. Over time, the system can handle more and more, but again, stay within the guardrail of the policies which are actually set by the IT admins. And so every action is visible, everything gets logged, and it's tied to security as well as business rules. And most importantly, let's say something were to happen, every action is actually reversible, right? And so in critical systems, people still own the intent. They still own the risk. All that is happening right now is AI agents and AI continues to execute the work. And humans still continue to stay in charge. And this isn't about being bold for the sake of it. It's about not just surviving, but also thriving. And now it gives more amount of time to those IT admins so that they can focus on other business priorities rather than chasing fix 24/7, right? So ultimately, autonomous doesn't mean unsupervised. It means that you're moving from a manual, error-prone task to a policy-driven automation, which is done by AI with humans setting the guardrails and agents, which are now going to handle a lot of the repetitive work, which people shouldn't be doing at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Well, I agree with a lot of that. And I don't think that, I mean, obviously this AI era is new, but if you look like over the last 20 years of networking, we've essentially done the same thing. Like you think about wireless, for example. The how you deploy an enterprise wireless network in 2025 versus 2010, I mean, the goals are still the same, like to provide coverage and connectivity and capacity. But how you do that has gotten much, much easier. But it doesn't mean that like you needed fewer IT people today to do wireless. It just meant that like it really just got easier. And there was like less things to have to fight and work. Like you, things that used to have to be like, you know, on the Wi-Fi side, like a wing and a prayer. I hope it works. Or now it's just kind of solved. I was talking to somebody the other day, just so many of the things with wireless that used to be, oh, one vendor can do that, one vendor can't. Now it's like the technology is so robust that it just kind of works. And it doesn't mean, again, that like because wireless is less finicky today than it was in 2011, it doesn't mean that like we, you know, there are fewer IT people. It just means that like they're spending more time on actual new projects than just babysitting and like rebooting and hoping to fix it things. So I think that I agree with you there because, you know, again, I've said on past shows, we used to have people, the job was managing, you know, email servers and doing device imaging. Well, cloud email, you know, has solved a lot of that. And then like zero touch deployments have solved a lot of that. But the people that used to do that, they moved on to other things and higher level things. And I think we'll kind of continue to see that trend. But we talk about too, the like focusing on solutions. So, and obviously like in a typical network, and whether it be the networking side or whether it be like on the application side, it's hard to live in silos anymore. And like, things have to work together. I think customers have ultimately started demanding vendor collaboration and vendor openness. But do you think there's like a risk here of like, well, obviously, like I know everybody wants to sell their thing, but sometimes you can sell one thing to one customer. They're going to use another thing from other customers. Do you see like a future where like competitors genuinely, even if they compete on various aspects, they have to come together on the business side to kind of build openness with their customers, again, even if they compete, but if the customer wants to mix and match, do you think that's like, you know, they're going to have to stay open here?
Yeah, 100%. So when you think about it, there is a history in tech of building walls and creating lock-ins, but we at Cisco always, we have been about building bridges. You know, our logo is about building bridges, and we actually stay true to that always, right? So now let's talk about your vendor lock-in, right? Like, so AI agents don't work in silos. If they can't see across the networks, across security, cloud apps, they can't really solve the real world problems. So openness isn't just a philosophy anymore. It now becomes a requirement. Customers expect systems to connect. Open APIs, shared data, and easy integrations are no longer nice to have. There is a reason you're seeing a rapid rise of MCP servers. They sit above the API layers to turn software portfolio into environments agents can actually operate inside. They're open, they're governed, and designed to be traversal. So agents aren't locked into one tool, one data set, or one domain. And in my mind, this shift is really fundamental. We are moving beyond predefined metrics and static views of the world towards a model where you ask a question and the agents reason across cross-domain systems to actually deliver the understanding. And soon, they'll actually deliver the outcomes for you. And this is only going to be possible when you have an open system. And this for us at Cisco is not something new, right? Like our platform, our networking platform is built with 40 years of networking history, experience, and real-world operations. So our engineers have lived in this complex mixed environment for 40 years. So our domain expertise down to the CCIE level means we design for how the networks actually run and not how we wish they ran. Right? So in the real world, no one runs just a single wonder. That's why our platform is built to work with others. Openness is no longer a nice, cool idea to have. And that's what makes AI and AI agents actually very useful. Some vendors might try to build those new walls, but it's very likely that customers will not accept them. If automation only works when you buy a whole stack, it breaks the promise of AI. So the future belongs to platforms that has the ability to connect everything, not because it sounds so good, but because that's the only way AI can actually deliver the results.
Thanks, everybody, for listening this week. We'll be back next week with part two of this discussion.